Welcome to the NLP View with your host, Donna Blinston. Each week, Donna will explore how the techniques of NLP can help improve your personal and professional life. And now, here's your host, Donna Blinston.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NLP View. My name is Donna Blinston. On today's show, I am joined by the inspiring Art Geiser, founder and developer of Energetic NLP. Neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, is the integration of several disciplines, including neurology, psychology, linguistics, cybernetics, and systems theories, providing individuals with a set of insights and skills with which they can actively use their minds, emotions, and bodies to run their lives more successfully. Energetic NLP has wonderful processes for helping you to enhance your health, vitality, and ability to heal, combined in the best of NLP, transformational work, energy healing, and intuition development. Energetic NLP is a system of simple tools and techniques that allow you to clear and develop your energy field to promote personal development on all levels. Energetic NLP was started in 1985 by Art Geiser. Over the last 25 years, Art has continued to develop Energetic NLP into the wonderful field that it is today. So I'd like to welcome to the show Art Geiser. Hello, Art.
Hi, Donna. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure is all mine. How are you?
I'm very good. It's a beautiful spring day here in California, so I'm enjoying it.
Yes. It's been nice here today, you know. Well, I guess to start with, really, I want to thank you for joining me and our listeners today. I feel truly honoured to be allowed to interview you, and I hold a high level of admiration for your work and your passion for what you do. I work within the NHS, our national health system, and working with patients, especially where I work in intensive care, when you're dealing with a lot of energies and a lot of vulnerable people, knowing what I've learned through studying the Energetic NLP and studying your work, it's enhanced me personally and professionally, so it's a thank you from me, really.
Well, that makes me feel incredibly good, because I know in your position as a nurse, you're influencing so many people in their healing, so that's really wonderful.
Thank you. Well, before we start, could you tell our audience about yourself and your background?
I was always a very... I was interested when I was a young child in ESP and psychic things and intuition development and dreams. But I was really, really interested in science and wanted to be a scientist when I grew up. And my father was one of the early people in computers. So I was really highly developing my logical mind all of the time. And I was intrigued by this whole other aspect of life, but I hadn't really done anything with it. And I was somebody that I think everybody would have predicted would really move very rapidly through life. And when I graduated from university, I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. And I had majored in biology, so I became a researcher for the University of California Medical School in San Francisco. And it was a good job. I was managing this research lab, and I was proud of the work that we were doing. But I knew I was stuck. I knew I didn't really belong there. And I had no idea, you know, what I should be doing with myself. And I'd always believed that I wasn't so much going to choose my life path. It was going to show up, and I'd know, like, oh, that's it. But the years were going on, and I thought, well, maybe I'm just kidding myself. Maybe I'm just horribly, horribly stuck. And so I began to feel bad about myself and my friends and family. I mean, nobody would say anything because they knew I was hypersensitive to it. But I could tell they were all going, what happened to you? You know, how did you get so stuck? And, but it probably would have been good had they said it, but nobody did. And I was at a talk on intuition. I was beginning to look at other things. And I walked by a bulletin board, and there was a flyer on it, and it said neuro-linguistic programming. And when I read the words, it literally felt like a bolt of lightning went straight down my midline. And
wow.
I remember the logical part of my mind went, what was that? And the rest of my mind went, well, what do you think it was? It was a sign. And I'm having this little internal kind of, not exactly argument, but because I at the time didn't think about things like signs, but I thought, well, I immediately went, and at the lecture I was at, they were selling NLP books. So I bought one and got home and opened it up, and it said, don't start with this book. So then I went home, and I went to a store and I bought Frogs into Princes, one of the mm-hmm. really early NLP books. And, you know, 5 pages into it, I was hooked. And then took the first NLP course I could, and 5 minutes into that, knew I'm in the right place. And everything in my life began to alter because of the NLP, but also because a lot of the people I was studying with, I shouldn't say a lot, there were a few people who were also into healing and intuition development, and they introduced me to different teachers, and everything took off from there.
Mm. It's very powerful, and it does. I certainly, when I first got into NLP, I went into it really, in fairness, to shut my ward manager up. We had at the time I thought she was quite a battle axe of a ward manager.
Mm.
She was very brilliant. She was obsessed with our personal development, and she pushed us to do our CPDs every year and encouraged us to do stuff to enhance the ward, enhance our practice, and, you know, pushing you to get through your career path, really.
Wow.
And brilliant. Looking back, brilliant. At the time,
right.
That anyway. So I read this little article in the Nursing Standard that said 4-day NLP diploma, and with that, it covered all 6 of our key skills framework, which in nursing is communication, leadership, management, mentoring, working with other people,
fantastic.
And such like.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, brilliant, 4 days, and she's off my back for the rest of the year. And that was the only reason why I went on the course, and it just knocked me off my socks completely. It bowled me over.
Mm.
You said that bolt that went through you, I had that radiating all over the place. I had a very clear sense of self and purpose and focus, I think.
Mm.
And I wanted to learn more. I had the curiosity that NLP provides you with is addictive for me. And I was very... I wanted to know more, and I've always been the kind of person that would always say, well, what if we did that, and well, mm-hmm. why not, and says who, and anyone who says you can't do it, I've got a knee-jerk response of, watch me. So, it gave me tools to look at that in a more professional manner and to deal with those things. So I did have that that same passion, I guess, that it does. It is a powerful...
Oh, it was like every hour another door was opened, and thinking about how people create their inner realities and how that affects their lives, and thinking like, how do they structure time? I mean, whoever thinks about anything like that?
Yeah. You don't. It is not something that would ever come up in conversation, and well, it's something that I believe strongly should be taught in schools.
Mm.
But that's another interview.
Absolutely.
But certainly. It's very, it is that opening doors, definitely. And the awareness of your own self, that you're choosing whether you go through it or whether you see that that door's there.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to leave doors open for other people, not necessarily guide them through it, but have that leave opportunity so that if they wanted to go through it, that
exactly.
door is open. And it's that that's very empowering. And for me, whether it's my nursing background, but that's, that's maybe that nurture side of me, I guess. It encourages you to want to be able to help people. And NLP gives you that way of facilitating them to help themselves,
mm-hmm.
which for me, is so much more empowering than actually helping somebody, you know, on a nurture basis.
Oh, absolutely.
So where did the energetic NLP begin? Where did what started the seeds planting with that?
Well, through these people in the workshops, I had studied some intuition development and healing before and had seen miracles and amazing results. And then through these people, I kept meeting other teachers. And I discovered that NLP is incredible as it is, like any system has its limitations. And I also began to realize that the intuitive energetic systems, as incredible as they were, had – their own set of limitations that were different than NLP's. And when I started putting things together from both, everything started shifting. And it was more like 1 + 1 = 10. And I would do it both with my private clients. I would do it in corporate settings. I wouldn't necessarily in a corporate setting identify it as energy work. But people, when I was done, would go, well, gee, that was kind of magical, or that was really special. And, and I wasn't there to proselytize them into my viewpoint of the world. But I just started noticing, gee, the more I put together NLP and healing work and transformative energy work, the more amazing the results became. And I'd actually kept them separate for a while. And then I would tell people I was doing that. And by about the third person who went, that's really stupid. Why are you keeping them separate? I finally got the subtle message. Another way we get signs sometimes is people are going, what are you talking about?
Hello.
And I went, why am I keeping them separate? I felt like I was cheating if I could read somebody's energy when I was doing NLP. I mean, it was really silly. But then I started putting it together.
No, I understand, Jay. Yeah.
And the results just kept multiplying. And, since at least 1985. So I very, very intensely been doing it since then. And I'm always studying myself. And I've had a real, real variety of teachers, both in NLP, including all the developers of the field. Well, I shouldn't say all the original developers, because there's new developers all the time. And everything from very Western energy workers to Philippine psychic healers to South American healers, to two empowerments from the Dalai Lama. So like yourself, I'm just looking for things that work and they're taking the best of what I learn and combining that in.
That is NLP, isn't it? It's that whole modeling success, modeling what works.
Exactly.
And I guess that's where it all sprang from. Because as you say, energy work has been around for hundreds of thousands of years. When we look back to the spiritual connections in health and healing and martial arts, the energy's been there. It's just, it's again, it's that curiosity and the modelling what works. And I guess in a lot of NLP, as you become more involved with NLP, you do use energy without formally thinking of it as being energy. You hold that space for that person who's potentially in a very vulnerable position. So it's holding that space so that they feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you have to be working with energy in order to have that rapport. It's a safety, isn't it? You're making them feel safe and comfortable, and being aware of if they're verbally telling you something, but what you're feeling off them is something completely different. We pick up on that from our intuition that we're taught with the NLP. But that in itself is the energy healing. You're picking up on those incongruences with what's been said and what their unconscious is saying to you.
Well, you're spot on. That's a huge part of it. Another part from an NLP practitioner's perspective is that one of the things that got me to start talking about energy work at NLP conferences was that some NLP practitioners, in fact, a lot of the really good ones, were doing really powerful work with their clients. The clients were releasing energies when they were changing. And a lot of NLP practitioners, because they don't know what to, that they shouldn't be doing it, start absorbing those energies. And I remember being at an NLP conference in the early 90s, I think it was, and I was at a table with a number of other NLP trainers, and we all looked wiped out, and somebody, one of us went, you know, we're not much of an advertisement at the moment for NLP. And part of what it was is they were doing such great work with people, and they were absorbing people's energies but not clearing them.
Yeah.
So their clients were getting better, but they were having bigger and bigger problems. Now, some people just naturally know how to clear their energy, but for most of us, it's not only really important for our helping our clients, but really important for keeping the caregiver, the helpers in good shape.
It is. And, you know, that's one thing from a healthcare nurse perspective. We spend a lot of time with the nurses and with families, the carers of relatives, encouraging them to look after themselves. So why aren't we applying that when we're doing deeper work?
Exactly.
In the same way. It's again, it's mapping it across, isn't it? And it's often done in one field without the conscious thought of it being completely appropriate in another.
Well, most people don't, you know, even if they know that there is such a thing as energy, they just don't know they should be doing anything around it. And
yeah.
I know, I mean, I got myself in very serious trouble. I was doing fabulous work with people and they were changing right and left and I was going down the toilet. And luckily, three different psychics separately all said, pointed out to me that what was going on, and when they'd clear my energy, I'd feel better. But what they didn't know to do, and what a lot of people in energy work don't know to do, is that a lot of them are really fantastic at clearing energy, but they don't know to look for what was keeping the energy in your space, what was the belief or the program. And unless you clear that, you're liable to just start picking up the same kind of energies from somebody else. Where if you clear what in you caused you to hold on to these energies, because you know, everybody's the king or queen of their own energy space. So if there's energy stuck in your space, it's because you're holding on to it for reasons that are outside your consciousness. So in energetic NLP, we always are looking at, okay, what's the deep belief or programming that's causing the person to hold on to the energy? When that gets cleared, not only does the energy release, but they're not going to bring it back.
Is that in the same way as your perception is projection? So what it is you see in somebody else that you don't like, it's not that you don't like it in them, it's because it's representing something in you that you don't like?
I would say it's related.
I
wouldn't say it's exactly the same, but it's the same. It's operating off of the same principle that there's something in us. So, and the more I think about it, yeah, it's pretty darn similar. You're right.
It actually, it surprised me as I've been learning about you and your work and energy. I didn't realize quite how much energy we exchange, and that we never actually stop exchanging energy and absorbing it from other people. Mm. And we do that from, you know, whether we're talking about X. If you're talking about X, you're providing, in effect, X energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a quote of yours around energy follows thought. And that made me think a lot of how much time we spend thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess for me, it links very much. I'm quite passionate around, if you need to be in an emotion for whatever reason, it's fine to be in that emotion for there and then. And at what point do you say, okay, I've had enough of being the result of that behavior. I'm sick of being at the effect of that. When am I going to get back in course and start taking responsibility? So it's around how long are you going to allow that to affect you, which I guess is my long way round of saying how I didn't appreciate quite how much energy we waste on thinking about things and worrying about things that are outside of our control. Mm-hmm. But again, that's spent energy that we're just losing. It's just draining away.
It's draining away, and meanwhile, we're absorbing other people's energy, which will always stay their energy. And on the subject of emotions, any emotional state that you or one of the listeners has, that they have a lot of trouble, they're not happy with how they handle it. And if they've done any work on it at all, but it doesn't get better, it's probably because it's not their energy. We absorb emotional energies starting at least in the womb. When we're in the womb, we're trying to heal the giants because we love them, and also because we're aware, you know, not on a conscious level, but on an inner level, we're aware that our existence is dependent on the health of the giants. And so we start absorbing energies of our parents in order to heal, help our parents cope with life. And then what happens, let's say one of your parents is really anxious, then, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later, a person's going, I don't know, I've been really anxious my whole life. I don't know why. And, you know, and I've been to therapy, but it helps a little, but it didn't really take care of it. And it's because it's not your energy. And in energetic NLP, we then drain off the parent's energy and work at what was causing the person to still hold on to it. And it doesn't mean then that the person would never feel anxiety, but they'd feel genuine anxiety. And people can handle their genuine emotions. What we can't handle is we attract all these emotional energy from other people, and because it's not ours. And by the way, I think that's what causes a lot of road rage, because people are driving up and down the highways being frustrated and angry. I'm not all the time, of course, but there's often a lot of that. And that energy stays there on the highway. And so then if you do start getting frustrated or angry, for some people it opens a portal and like, boom, they get by a tidal wave of everybody's frustration and anger, and they can get completely out of control.
Which I guess that's where they say that people transform when they get behind a wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, occasionally for
I
the better.
Well, yes. One of the questions that I got via Facebook, I got several times actually, was around are there such thing as energy vampires, and whether energy vampires are real.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, well, my perspective is no, but that perspective is because of my beliefs around whether you're at cause and in control of your life, or you're at the effect and the result of somebody else's, which links back to my thing around how long am I going to spend being upset about something.
Mm-hmm.
So my model of the world, I always believe it's not them. I'm allowing them to drain my energy. And so that's where I come from. But what are your thoughts around this mention around energy vampires?
I agree exactly with what you're saying. Most people have a lack of knowledge about energy. So their experience is that somebody's pulling their energy off. And I want to validate that's what it feels like to them. But when you become aware of energy, you realize nobody has the power to grab your energy and hold on to it unless there's some belief or programming in your space that's allowing them to do it. Now, we're complex beings, and there's often something to, like maybe somebody's a very caring person, and so somebody can pull their energy and take it off and keep it because the person thinks, oh, I'm supposed to take care of everybody else. And certainly a lot of women have that programming, and some men too. What we do in energetic NLP, though, is if somebody's pulling my energy away from me, then I go, oh, well, thank you very much for pointing that out. And then I use energetic NLP techniques to find what's the belief or the programming that's allowing them to do that. Heal that, change that, and then bring my energy back. So it becomes a gift. Some people are pointing out the kinds of beliefs and programs that when I clear them, my life will get better. So again, to sum up for people, if you start treating people like energy vampires, what you're telling your mind is they're more powerful than I am. They have this mysterious ability to suck my energy. And instead, if you just go, okay, what in my space is, and it's not a blame thing, what in me is allowing that to happen? And then you start healing and clearing that and getting clear in your mind that it's my energy and I can just, it'll come back because I tell it to come back. It's like a very well-trained dog. If you go, okay, here, boy, boom, and it comes back.
It comes back. Which I guess links into a lot of what we see as energy complaints within healthcare around our chronic fatigue and ME and the SAD seasonal disorder. A lot of that, I guess, would it relate to how we will give people the diagnosis of seasonal disorder when it's winter, it's cold, it's dark, they don't get out as much, they're not socializing as much. In effect, is it the fact that we're given a diagnosis, an ability to draw away? Are they giving their energy, in effect, to that diagnosis, whatever's left and spent? Or is it accumulation of those winters or whatever they're hooking into from their own past that's, in a way, that's blocking and draining their own energy?
Well, I'll mention for your listeners, there's a wonderful book written like a little fable called Recover Your Energy by my colleague Olive Hickmott, H-I-C-K-M-O-T-T, who lives outside of London. And and she has CDs too, and they were designed particularly for people with ME and chronic fatigue, and to help them learn how to manage their energy. So we found, and that's been a real specialty of hers, that it makes an enormous difference when people learn how to clear their energy, recover their energy, and learning how to ground. It makes a tremendous difference. So those kind of energy conditions, it does very much have to do with people who are letting their energy be pulled off. And with any medical condition, with the best of intentions, you know, doctors, nurses, hospitals are programming us, you know, mostly some consciously, some unconsciously. And it's really important to clear that programming, because with all the best intentions, people are being programmed with things like, oh, that's incurable. And I know from when I worked in a medical school, all the doctors had stories about people getting over incurable diseases. and we all know it happens. It's medically recorded. So it's very, very important. I was working with somebody who's getting radiation treatments for cancer today, and one of the things we were talking about was being sure after the treatments to pull out any of the medical programming and just really let her body take over and not be limited by what we're taught is possible. So, yes, I think any diagnosis comes with it, particularly the ones that where they say there isn't much you can do for it, that can be unintentionally extremely destructive for people. And the medical evidence is that while that is often true, it's often not true. And I mean, any of us, I'm sure you as a nurse in the healing work that I do, I've seen so many miracles, you know, and done by myself and other people that we all know it's normal.
It is. And it's a constant battle, I suppose, around, you know, yes, it might be that the person might not walk again after an op or after an incident, but it's that might, and it's what emphasis you place and where you place it on that sentence. And, you know, okay, so for however many people might not, but you still might be able to. So it's being aware around our language and what doors we leave open or what doors we shut in the face of our patients.
Exactly. It's wonderful that, you know, again, there's somebody like yourself as a nurse who's very aware of all that.
It's that little advert in the Nursing Standard from Dr. Susan Henwood that opened my eyes, and I'll be forever internally grateful to her. Well, Art, our half an hour has whisked by. You're going to have to come back and join me again.
I'd love to.
Can you share with our audience how they can get in touch with you and your website details?
My website is www.energeticnlp.com, which is ENERGETICNLP.com. Or if they just put in ENLP, the number 7.com, that will also get them there. And if people sign up on my site, there are free audios and videos where I take people through different energetic NLP techniques. They can also, if they search for me on YouTube, and my name is, it's Art, A-R-T, and then Geiser, G-I-S-E-R. They search on YouTube, they'll find a number of videos either put up by myself or by my sponsors in the UK, Solar Events.
Well, Art, a huge thank you from me personally and also from our listeners for joining me today on the NLP View. And thank you to all of our audience for tuning in today. If you'd like to learn more about NLP, then tune in each week and also visit my website, www.donnablunston.com, where you'll be able to pick up a copy of my best-selling book, Psychobabble, a straightforward, plain-ish guide to the benefits of NLP. Also visit theorganicview.com and sign up for our newsletter, which will keep you updated with the up-and-coming shows, guests, and online workshops. In the next live workshop, we will discuss how NLP can be used to improve your relationships, both personally and professionally, learning NLP techniques that will enable you to see events and problems from multiple perspectives and find out what is really important to you in a relationship, And once again, Art, thank you ever so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's an incredible pleasure, Donna. I so appreciate what you're doing with your interview show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.